Afterward to section 43. A summer festival on the waterfront of a New England town. Sunlight and blue skies and salt air. Tourists and townspeople, some pushing strollers, some eating ice cream or sipping coffee, drift past white tents in which vendors offer seascapes, stained glass, baked goods. Many stop to look at Plymouth Rock, where the pilgrims from Mayflower supposedly disembarked in 1620. At the wharf, a replica of the merchant ship that brought them to the New World lies in her berth, with actors playing the roles of shipmates and passengers, reciting a version of the history taught to American schoolchildren. The Mayflower compact looms large in any telling, how all the adult males, saints and strangers alike, the terms respectively, for the faithful and those who made the perilous journey for the sake of trade or adventure, pledged while still aboard ship to covenant and combine themselves together into a civil body politic. Here was the cornerstone of democracy, the origin of the new faith that Whitman extols in this section. What strikes the reader is the range of reference that the poet employs in his catalog of ancient and modern belief systems, each of which contributes to his revelation that the individual is the measure of the cosmos. He yokes together every religion to prepare the ground for what is yet untried and afterward, what will suffice for us all, now helping the Lama or Brahmin as he trims the lamps of the idols, now drinking mead from the skullcap, now sitting patiently in a pew, and more. In the sea of torment, doubt, despair, and unbelief, there is a force that crests in us at every moment, the here and now. His surging lines will teach us how to ride it. William Bradford, a signatory of the Mayflower Compact and governor of the Plymouth Colony, wrote, "As one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation." Whitman turned that candle into song.